This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of Three Man Front on this Wednesday. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber. We're going to go out to Arkansas in just a couple minutes and talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks as they get ready to host the Auburn Tigers. Some news this morning from the SEC teleconference. If you did not hear us talk about it earlier, more bad news for the LSU Bengal Tigers. It appears now they're going to be without another player, Eli Ricks, their All-American cornerback. He is going to be out the rest of the season. He injured his shoulder during that tough game with Kentucky. So if you're keeping score at home, LSU will now go the rest of the season without its two All-American corners. They have a superstar wide receiver, Keyshawn Boutte. He's going to be out for the year. And you're still out your two top defensive ends for the LSU Tigers. So it is a tough go for Coach O and the Tigers as they get ready to host the Florida Gators.
Yeah, but the good news is you're going to have a bunch of fans inside of Tiger Stadium that don't have to show the COVID-19 protocol, vaccination status, and all of that. And I mean, who knows? The early game, Tiger Stadium, that you think that thing is three quarters full for this game?
A lot of Florida fans might make the trip.
But LSU fans just acknowledging that it's probably the end of Coach O and the hatred that they have for Florida, you still show up and make a lot of noise.
And it's going to be very interesting. But talking about people in the seats, I want to tell you about Tickets for Less. They're your local source for Bama football tickets. Find the best selection of seats without the added taxes and per ticket service fees that you find at other sites. Go to ticketsforless.com or call them today, 205-758-1199, or you can visit their office at 1410 University Boulevard or shop online again at ticketsforless.com. We're happy to be joined now on the Bud Light Hotline by Chuck Barrett. He is the voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks, and he joins us here on Three Man Front. Chuck, I hope you're doing well. Hope things are good out in the state of Arkansas.
They are. Hope you guys are doing well, too. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it has been a tough stretch. We just talked about this, Chuck, that maybe Arkansas had the toughest stretch of the first part of the season than maybe any football team in America when you looked at their schedule. But now you're getting back home and you're playing an Auburn team. What is the current status from a health standpoint of this Arkansas football team?
Well, I think they're kind of like a lot of people. They've got a lot of bumps and bruises, and they've got guys that are playing through things. They've lost an offensive lineman for a few weeks. He's had hand surgery, and they're going to have to do some shuffling there. The good news is that the guys who have to step in have played a lot, and the starter that's going to move to that spot started more games than anybody on the offense. So I think they're going to be okay in that regard. Defensively, you know, bumps and bruises, nothing catastrophic or anything like that. They've just got some things they've got to play through right now.
Chuck, as we look, the two losses that they've had in consecutive weeks, Georgia and then, of course, the close game at Ole Miss. If there's one thing that many things that I appreciate about Sam Pittman, but if there's one thing that I've learned about watching him coach his football team through 1.5 seasons, is they always seem to keep that even keel, week to week, that workmanlike effort. I would expect that, and I don't know, you're around the team more, you see it. What can we expect from this Arkansas team as far as getting back home, playing an Auburn team, and maybe not letting the last two losses carry over?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they've got to get back to controlling the line of scrimmage. And I think that was the common denominator in September when they beat Texas and they beat Texas A&M and did so in pretty dominating fashion. And that started at the line of scrimmage. Now, Georgia's whipped a lot of people at the line of scrimmage, and they'll keep doing that. So I think that's kind of a one-off there. Ole Miss ran the ball really well last week, and I think that's what made them go offensively. And the Razorbacks have not tackled as well the last couple of weeks, frankly, as maybe they did in the first four ball games. You had a lot of running backs getting to the second level against Ole Miss, and you know that lends itself to open field tackling. And they weren't quite as good in that area as they had been. So I think the biggest thing for Arkansas is just to get back to their physical identity, their defense. Being stingy, controlling the line of scrimmage on offense, running the ball, Those are the things that got them to 4-0, and they've got to get back to that now.
In regards to the leader on offense, KJ Jefferson, we're seeing the maturation process each week just get deeper and deeper, and how his leadership is growing on that football team. Kind of talk about KJ and his development and what you've seen so far through the first half of the season.
You know, it's been interesting. KJ is a third-year sophomore, and for a lot of people, he's just burst on the scene, but he's been here a while. So he's a veteran in the sense that he's been around the team a long time, and they view him as their leader, and they follow him. And his performance on the field is, you know, it just continues to get better. I mean, he accounted for 6 touchdowns last week, ran for 3 and threw for 3. And, you know, not many guys do that. And he's a gamer. He's a competitor. And, you know, you can go back to the A&M ball game when he came back in hurt and lowered his shoulder and got a first down that sealed the deal. And he's just that kind of player. And so his teammates follow him. And he's a big guy who can run over you. He can make a move and go around you when he runs the ball. He's got a really nice touch on the deep ball. He's got to get better on the short and intermediate throws. But he seems to be, as a general rule, he seems to be getting better every game. Again, I'll take the Georgia game as a one-off. But beyond that, he continues to get better every game.
Chuck, as we go back to that Georgia game in retrospect, and of course they were coming off, Arkansas was the emotional win in Arlington over Texas A&M. Was that a team where you saw that they came in flat, or was it just a matter with your own eyes saying, you know what, Georgia's just that good?
Well, I think it was a combination of Georgia being that good and Arkansas being not quite ready for prime time, so to speak. Arkansas is a good football team. They're a lot better than they've been. But they're not ready to play Georgia and compete in the fourth quarter to win the game. They're just not to that point yet. And, you know, I'll give Georgia's fans credit. That's the best crowd for an early kickoff I've seen, and I've been doing this a long time. They were ready. They were into the game. Our team was like a deer in headlights at the start of the ball game. First and 10 becomes first and 20 after a couple of false starts, and all of a sudden you're behind the 8 ball and the game's over before it really gets underway. And I just thought it was that kind of day. Georgia was dominant and Arkansas wasn't quite ready for that big stage yet. I think they're better in that regard now, but that day they certainly weren't.
We're talking to Chuck Barrett, who is the play-by-play voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks. He joins us on the Bud Light Hotline here on Three Man Front. Not your opinion, but the opinion of the fans. Where was the line drawn in regards to Pittman's decision to go for 2 or to send the game into overtime last week in Oxford?
Well, from a fan's perspective, I don't think the overwhelming majority, you know, were against it. In fact, I think the general consensus among the fans is that they appreciate the fact that he went for 2. You know, you can always second guess the play call, and you know that's what you do for 5 days or 6 days until they play again. I think maybe there are some that you know would like to have seen KJ run the ball. Maybe it was an RPO and he opted to throw, and you know it just didn't work out. But in terms of going for 2. I don't think people really have a problem with that.
All right, Chuck, as we look ahead to the game in Fayetteville on Saturday between the Hogs and Auburn, when you look at the strengths maybe of both teams, maybe the weaknesses, different matchups, what are going to be? I know you mentioned the offensive line and getting more physical and kind of regaining that physicality, but where do you see maybe some of the advantages for Arkansas against Auburn and then vice versa?
Well, I think if Arkansas is able to control the line of scrimmage, I think that's an advantage. Arkansas runs the ball well, and they have, you know, they've been able to do that again, save for the Georgia game. And you know, I know Auburn would like to run the ball well, and you know, they've been a little up and down in that regard. But you know, I watched the Penn State game again this week, and they were pretty good that day or that night, and. You know, I'm sure Auburn wants to run it. Arkansas did a good job of stopping the run in their first 4 games. And I kind of think the team that does that's the team that's going to win. That's not a real glamorous analysis. I completely understand, but I kind of think that's where both teams are.
In regards to your assessment of the first half of the season in the SEC West, just your overall impressions of how the division is looking and how it potentially could play out.
Well, obviously, a bombshell was dropped Saturday night.
Yes.
And that changed everybody's perspective on things. I think the general consensus had been Alabama and everybody else. And, you know, it may turn out to be that way. I mean, Alabama's lost before and has come back and played well and had a great season. And they may do that again. But I think that, you know, when you have a game like that, it gives everybody else new life. Certainly, Alabama's the team to beat, and I don't think anybody argues that. But, you know, there's a race for second place. Ole Miss took a big step when they beat the Razorbacks Saturday, but Alabama's beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss has an advantage because they don't have to play Georgia. So, you know, LSU's fading. Is A&M going to play the way that, you know, they were advertised to be when the season started? And, you know, Mississippi State's no pushover. So, you know, I still think Alabama's the clear favorite, but I think it's wide, wide open. You know, some vulnerability was exposed Saturday night, and I think that gave a lot of other people life.
Well, Chuck, great stuff. Thanks for taking time. Have a great call on Saturday, and hopefully we'll talk to you in the near future.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. We did as well. Chuck Barrett, play-by-play voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Auburn taking on the Hogs, 17th-ranked Hogs. That's a CBS game, 11 a.m. there at Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville. And he joined us on the Bud Light Hotline. Bud Light game night coming up tomorrow. Myself, Pat Smith, our friends at Top Golf, and the Bud Light crew. 5 to 7, lots of giveaways. We got tickets to give away. Also, all the great Bud Light swag, Pat. And, you know, come by. Maybe you can rent a bay for you and your family. Enjoy the Bud and Bud Light. Put your name in the raffle. And we had a lot of happy listeners that came by and won some great, great prizes, including Auburn, Georgia tickets last week.
Yeah, there's a lot of happy people, a lot of great chances to win some great prizes and be able to come and be a part of the show. We're live on the air from 6 to 7, but it's just a good opportunity to get to talk to folks. Just think back a year ago, we were unable to do these type things, so it's great to see the Jocks listeners out in full force and enjoying a great night at Topgolf, and we'll be there again tomorrow night between 5 and 7.
All right, we got DJ Dale, Slade Bolden, also Bolden, excuse me. We've got Mike Leach, Sam Pittman, and others. Today's edition of Coach Speak. And it's bow season, and Pat's Archery has the gear you need for a successful hunt, like the Matthews V3 or the Raven and Killer Instinct crossbows. Pat's bow technicians are the best around. With 40 years experience, you can trust them to get you tuned up for the season. Find all your hunting and fishing gear at Pat's. 12 months, same as cash financing. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper. Getting to the quarterback, that's something Alabama couldn't do versus Texas A&M last Saturday. DJ Dale explains what Bama needs to do.
I mean, it definitely needs to improve. I feel like it started off pretty well in the first couple of games, and they kind of spiraled down. But, yeah, it needs to improve. It's not good enough.
No, it's not. I mean, even quarterback hurries, just making them somewhat uncomfortable. Alabama hasn't been able to do this, and with the offense they're going to face, one would not expect you probably see a whole lot of that.
No, I don't think so. Trying to get pressure on somebody that's going to get the ball out pretty quick, that's a tough task to ask for. But you're talking about this Alabama pass defense, currently fifth in the SEC in that category. And again, they will be tested on Saturday.
More from DJ Dale, the thing that he thought really made the difference Saturday night in College Station.
Honestly, we got hit in the mouth. And, you know, coach and some of the players, you know, kind of put everything on the table at halftime. We kind of picked it up. But it shouldn't have even been like that in the first place. So, but yeah, we just kind of got more things figured out that should have been figured out in the beginning of the game.
And it goes back to not used to losing. How do you respond? And let's be honest, Pat, this Alabama football team, it's the last time they fell behind. Texas A&M, they come out and hit them in the mouth, and a lot of times it's like, uh-oh, what do we do here? We don't have that auto reboot. What do we do? This is uncharted territory.
Yeah, it was the first time that they had trailed all season long when they fell behind 3-0. Matter of fact, I think it was the first time that they had trailed, what, maybe in a season and a half since they went undefeated last year. They just was not tested like they were the other nine. Of course, they ended up losing the game by 3.
Well, you got a Mississippi State defense for the second year in a row. They're flying under the radar with what Arnett has done. You can't have missed opportunities, drop balls. Slade Bolden. tries to explain what's going on there in the wide receiving core.
Drops, you know, it's definitely a repetition thing. It can also be, you know, just having confidence in your hands. But doing that, building confidence takes repetition. And, you know, as getting on the jugs or catching extra balls after practice and just working on different, you know, hand, you know, skilled hand work. You know, there's definitely things that you can to improve confidence, also improve the way you catch a ball. So, yeah, there are definitely ways to improve on catching.
Not something we've really had to address in the past few years.
Now, I've mentioned this stat before, but going into the Texas A&M game, Alabama wide receivers had only dropped six passes going into the Texas A&M game. They dropped six against the Aggies. So they matched their season total in one game.
When you combine that with the lack of consistency with passes over 10 yards from Bryce Young, then some of those ones that you count on, you're dropping those in pivotal situations, make a big difference.
And I want to address one other thing that I think a lot of people we lose sight of sometimes. And it's some criticism about Bill O'Brien, especially on the goal line. Keep in mind that just like Bo Nix did at Penn State, where you have options on these plays, Bryce Young also had options on those plays that did not result in touchdowns. So for everybody that wants to come after Bill O'Brien, I mean, it's a collective effort when it fails.
Fire them both.
You just can't throw it on one person. Do you see what I'm saying?
Fire them both.
Well, but I just wanted to point that out because I think we lose sight of that, you know, yes, a play is called, but there's also options on that play. I'll just leave it at that.
Not the first game he's ever called. Bill O'Brien. Been around a little bit, a little while. A
few games.
Yeah, and, I mean, do you think Nick Saban has any input? Any input whatsoever?
Well, again, there's just options on every play. So,
exactly.
I mean, sometimes that you choose wisely. Other times, you don't execute when something was open. So,
Mike Leach, he's not taking the bait. He's not taking the rat poison. This is what he thinks about Alabama losing to A&M.
Well, I don't. You know, the rankings are all out of whack. Anybody that thinks there's like 30 teams better than Texas A&M's out of their mind. But and someday when I'm in your position, I'll go right down the list and tell you which ones. But I think that you know, I mean, you had two good teams play, and the home team won. You know, and it's. You know, John Wooden used to say, never be surprised when the home team wins. And then, but, you know, that's a heck of an atmosphere there. You know, I love playing at Kyle Field, and I think that, you know, it's a heck of a place to play. Two really good teams played, and Texas A&M won, so.
See, when Mike Leach took the job, those press conferences right there where he said, well, one day when, you know, I'm doing what you're doing, and I'll go down the list of the other teams that aren't better than Texas A&M. That would have been a great time to do it. Just come out and say, San Diego State, they're garbage. SMU, I mean, who have they played? Arizona State.
One thing's for sure, you're not going to hear Mike Leach talk bad about Texas A&M or saying it was a fluke them beating Alabama because the week before he went down there and got a win. So he's not going to talk bad about the Aggies.
I mean, Coastal Carolina, I mean, they got like a what, rooster from France? And then he just goes off into like French history. I don't know. I would have expected more. Sam Pittman, Arkansas coach. Hogs trying to get it back together after losing two straight. This is what he had to say about last week.
You know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with success. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of pressure that comes with, you know, losing too. You know, I don't really want to get used to that part of the pressure, but there's a lot of pressure. And once you start out like we did, you know, the fan base there, everybody, you know, starts getting excited about, you know, you can go beat the Green Bay Packers, you know, so with that, becomes a lot of responsibility. I would much rather have it that way, you know, being 4-2. I think it's certainly not where we want to be, but We can't sit here and go, well, that's been a terrible season to this point. Certainly wish we would have been able to convert the 2-point play or stop them or, you know, make a field goal or, you know, not get a turnover, whatever it may be. And be 5-1, but I'm proud of our kids, the way they play. I'm proud of our coaching staff. We have to get better. I have to do a better job. And once I do that, it'll trickle down. But I'm proud of where we're sitting at this point. And I'd probably be lying to you if I told you anything else.
Well, look, if there's one thing he should be proud of is the way that he has coached his football team for a season and a half. Never thought that it was going to get better. I mean, Sam Pittman was like third or fourth choice on that list. Nobody wanted to sniff that job. But right now, if you said, who are you betting on and their team's trajectory, you know, ascending or descending, right now, if you gave me the choices between Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss,
LSU,
I'm saying for the next 3 years, I'm not going to throw LSU in there because it depends on who takes that job. I mean, we know that. That can be a turnkey job with the recruiting and even the talent that's already on that roster. But of those three, I'm putting my money and my chips behind Arkansas because they don't have the guys. They didn't have the guys last year. They still don't have the guys this year. But you get a couple of more recruiting classes, transfer portal, maybe a player here, player there. I think Sam Pittman, you're talking about consistency, something they haven't seen in quite some time.
Well, the other thing that's going to benefit the likes of Arkansas and even an LSU to try to rebuild down in Baton Rouge is the fact that the NCAA is going to let folks sign 7 extra players and get 7 extra transfers on top of the 25 that you can sign during your signing period. So that could fill your roster holes pretty quick with that being allowed now.
You think Brian Harsin was smiling when he saw that rule being passed?
I think a lot of guys were.
No kidding. That is Coach Speak, presented by Pat's Archery and Outdoors, your personal protection specialist with a large selection of handguns, rifles, and optics like Leupold and Vortex. Pat's experts can guide you on just the right equipment. Offering 12 months HAMIS cash financing, Highway 78 in Jasper. It's Pat's Archery and Outdoors, or just find them at patsarchery.com. Conference realignment. You thought it was over? Uh-uh. No, no, no. It's not going away. We'll give you the latest. Which conferences are involved? That's next.
This is Three Man Front.
11:27 here on Three Man Front. Conference realignment. That was hot and heavy discussion. It all started SEC Media Days. OU and Texas moving to the SEC. Then the alliance was formed. The evil alliance, it was formed. Then you had the Big 12 poaching. Predatory. Predatory nature. The American. And there was talks of the Mountain West specific members. Then they said no to the American. Then where did the American go? Well, there's been an overture from any other conference not mentioned here.
There's been a couple stories that have been percolating this morning in regards to CUSA, who they actually had a plan to potentially reorganize both the AAC and Conference USA together and then dividing them into two leagues geographically. Well, the AAC, according to Brett McMurphy on Twitter, said that there is absolutely no interest in the AAC teaming up with Conference USA for anything. So for those that thought that that would be a nice little mix, the AAC and CUSA kind of just joining forces, according to Brett McMurphy, one of his sources inside the AAC, quoting now, there is absolutely no interest.
Yeah, because if you're the AAC, I mean, you're still proud of where you are in the pecking order of non-Power 5 conferences while you're going to lose UCF, Cincinnati, Houston, and I still look at it like this. You're going to be very selective. You've been turned down apparently by a couple of schools, but you can still be very selective. No disrespect, but can't you still kind of pick and choose? How is it going to behoove you if you're the American to add all of those schools from Conference USA?
It wouldn't. I mean, and that's why they said they're not interested.
I mean, but does that seem desperate by Conference USA?
I think it's they're being proactive, which is good. And then you just wonder if, you know, does CUSA put itself above the Sun Belt in their line of thinking, or do they pivot and use that exact same plan and try to discuss that type of realignment with the Sun Belt?
Top to bottom, do you put the Sun Belt over Conference USA?
I don't. No.
Football?
No. But that's just my opinion. Especially not in basketball.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to decipher.
I mean, in basketball, no way.
Yeah, you're kind of getting into the nitty gritty.
No, I think if I'm Andy Kennedy and you tell me, hey, we're gonna have some type of agreement or arrangement or realignment with the Sun Belt, I'm not happy at all.
No.
That's not gonna get you a potential bid to the NCAA basketball tournament.
The stock market update today brought to you by Taylor Agricola. Right now, the market, the Dow is down 88 points currently at 34,290.15. You can call Taylor Agricola today. He's been serving the Birmingham area as a financial advisor for over 15 years. Taylor would like to take a look at your investments and help your money accomplish what you want it to do for you. Again, call Taylor Agricola with Raymond James today at 205-874-HELP. Raymond James and Associates, member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC. Taylor, very excited yesterday. Big Braves fan. He had to go home early to babysit. Sorry if I outed you, Taylor. Anyways, it is time for five questions prepared by Pat Smith. This is what we call Pat Ponders. Roofing update from the Smith household. How's Alabama Roofing Professionals? How's the roof coming?
We're still in the process of...
Goodness gracious, would you pick out shingles already?
No, I've picked out shingles. There's gutters involved. There's shingles involved. There's some other aspects.
They got other
this.
People that they need
but they're
to take
taking care of.
Of
me. Well, they're taking care of me.
I feel like you're kind of being the...
Like I'm the only customer? Like
yeah, a little bit.
No, they're handling it beautifully.
I know they are. This is... The customer
They were at my house yesterday.
The customer's not always right, Pat.
I'm learning that.
Tell him, hey, put him at the back of the line, Mike. Mike, they're not going to put you at the back of the line. You're going to come first. Alabama Roofing Professionals warranty all the work they do, free roof inspections, and also the blow-in insulation service. Cold months are coming. Keep your home energy efficient with Alabama Roofing Professionals. 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
Okay, question number one. We didn't get an opportunity yesterday to get into this, but this is a fascinating story developing in Birmingham. Reports surfaced this week that Birmingham may be the home base for 8 USFL football teams this spring. They would play their games at Protective Stadium and Legion Field. All the franchises would be housed right here, kind of like a bubble, in Birmingham. Everything would be right here. So my question to you guys, should Birmingham, the city of Birmingham, should they go all in and do whatever's necessary to make the USFL come to Birmingham?
Absolutely. You build it. I mean, what? And this runs what?
12 weeks from April through July 4th holiday.
I'm all for it. What are you really competing with besides Major League Baseball?
Again, this is all 8 franchises. Obviously, Birmingham would have a team, but everybody would be based in Birmingham. They would split the games between Legion Field and Protective Stadium. Supposedly, this is one of the presentations that cities have to give to the USFL, which is now owned completely by Fox. Fox owns this. This would be a television event. You have to have 2 venues that you can host games in. And that's why Birmingham, now having Protective Stadium and Legion Field, that's why Birmingham is, you know, gathering steam on top of that list.
And how much would this bring? I'm not going to ask you for revenue dollars. We just don't know. But we know the economic impact that it could have.
Well, the number I heard was like 40,000 hotel rooms would be used up during that time frame, which obviously that would go to the bottom line in the city of Birmingham.
Well, and selfishly here, we don't need those hotel rooms. Now, if you're trying to come to Birmingham, Birmingham and book a room. And you
don't forget it. You got the World Games coming up next summer, too.
Yeah, I like the idea.
So Birmingham should do, Mayor Whitcomb, they should do anything possible.
You're not competing in the fall. Spring, it kind of gets lost with some of the other stuff that's going on. But, yeah, I'd be dialed in. Late May, June, July, go watch some football.
Okay, but I'm saying the city of Birmingham.
Yes,
they should. Okay.
Goodness gracious, you try to get everything else. We were going to have the Olympics at one time. I don't know how that fell through. We're going to have –
Fell a little short on that one.
The Vikings were going to move here.
Now that was closer than people think.
I mean, why not? Utilize that stadium.
How about you, John?
I mean, in theory, I guess, but I don't know. I'm just thinking logistically, why are they just trying to do a bubble period? I mean, I understand, I guess, because of COVID reasons, but it feels like that's going to tear a field apart. Like if you have four games in the span of 2 days on one field, I feel like it's a bit much.
Well, it's artificial surface. I don't know. How are they going to stack the games, though?
What, like, obviously, I mean, I know this is a upstart league, but are you going to buy one ticket and stay the whole day? Or?
That'd be cool.
I bet you would stagger it. I think you would have Protective would host a game at 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Legion Field would host a night game or vice versa
but
on Saturday.
I saw, like, it would all be in Protective Stadium until like the near the end of the season. So all four games, regular season games, would be in Protective. I don't know, maybe just...
If you're like the bottom, if you're in the cellar, you got to play at Legion Field. You don't get the new toy.
Well, this, hopefully they're not listening because this doesn't appeal to them to do that.
I'm just saying the new toy.
I don't know. I don't know. No offense to the other leagues that have tried, but I'd like to see them succeed before this try to happen here. And I have a feeling that given the history of the Alabama and pro teams that we're cursed. I'd rather just focus on UAB and let's make sure that's rolling rather than try and take on too much.
I've been told that it's down to Birmingham and possibly Houston as the place where they would host these.
Remember that time we almost got the Raiders?
We never almost got the Raiders. In the history of this town, the only
wasn't
teams...
it William Parker that threw out there because they didn't know if they're going to have a home, and he said you can spend a part of it here.
Yeah,
and he was making that pitch.
The only time in history that I'm aware of that Birmingham was legitimately in the mix for something was in the early 70s, the Miami Dolphins, potentially.
There was hints of semi-close of the Vikings, but we knew that was, yeah.
That was Dr. Larry Lemack right. was heavily involved in that, and I've heard that story plenty of times, and that had legs. That was legitimate before, obviously, Red McCombs.
Yeah.
When he owned the Vikings. So, yeah. But, yeah. So, we'll wait and see. Again, 8 USFL teams might make Birmingham their home come this spring. Question number 2. So, which stat surprises you the most from this previous weekend? That Mac Brown is now 0-8 all-time versus Florida State, or 12,765 people showed up for the UMass 27-13 win against UConn?
Ooh. I think it's more surprising Mac Brown's record versus Florida State.
0-8.
Because you think about it, UMass, UConn, look, it's a given that both of these teams stink. I think that would be a lot of fun just to go and hang out with your buddies.
12,000 people. Party. I'm really surprised 12,000 people
before the game.
Could not find anything else better to do in Amherst, Massachusetts.
I mean, you're only talking about 2.5-3 hours. Could dedicate. You hit up the pub before. Lay a little wager down. Maybe have some chowder. I don't know. No, Mac Brown, though, that record versus Florida State, that actually does surprise me. But maybe it shouldn't.
Now, keep in mind that most of those losses was when Florida State was pre-Willie Taggart and Norvell.
Right.
I mean, they had it rolling. But, yeah, he's 0-8.
But even the last 2 years where Florida State has been and where North Carolina is, that's – you don't really have an explanation
for that. Mac Brown's record,
yeah.
not the 12,000 people. How about you, John?
I'd say it's Mac Brown's record. Only because you feel like at one point Florida State and when Texas was rolling would have maybe met a little bit more. But it's not surprising that almost 13,000 fans showed up. We're acting like they played in a 85,000 – they played in a 17,000 seat stadium.
Sounds pretty good crowd.
That's 75% that showed up. That's pretty dang good. I mean, UAB hadn't gotten that. And they're a good team.
Yeah.
But then again, they weren't taking all crap at UConn, so.
That was UMass's first win in 742 days. UConn has now lost 11 in a row. Question number 3. You're going to hear a lot of this. It's going to be debated. It's just a matter of time before LSU comes open. But which is a better job in your opinion, LSU or USC?
USC.
Why?
If both are at their absolute peak, LSU is at best second in the conference.
Okay.
No matter, even when LSU, if Nick Saban was what he is now over at LSU, Alabama would still be, even though they may not be winning nearly as much, Alabama's always going to be viewed as the top dog in the conference. Even if Georgia come and usurps and whatever, it's always going to be Alabama's conference. There may be times that somebody else is kind of taking the reins, but we all, let's be honest, we all think of the Pac-12 as USC's conference, even if they're down. And I'm pretty sure that if both of these are at their apex, you maybe have Ryan Clark, you may have Big Swagoo on the sides of LSU, maybe Harry Connick Jr. You're not going to have people like Snoop Dogg show up on the sidelines, various actors in Hollywood that want to be a part of it.
How about you, Ledger?
I'll go USC. Less competition. We know what the USC brand still is. Recruiting base. Right now you're really only competing with one school out there, and that's Oregon. And I feel like if you get the right guy in there, you can sell that brand and build it up, and kind of that swagger comes back to that program. You can do it there. Even though you're in the Pac-12, you can still dominate that conference and be back in the path to a college football playoff. I think you would agree is going to be much easier.
Sure.
And with a team like USC, you still have some of those built-in games, historical games like a Notre Dame, where you don't have to worry about top to bottom the overall strength of the conference like you typically would if you were a Clemson in past years in the ACC. I mean, you can still do that with the cachet they have.
USC, and from a facility standpoint, USC has upgraded everything
right.
over the last couple
and
of years.
And as a guy that's from the state of Louisiana, it's a hell of a lot easier to recruit to Southern California than it is the swamps of Louisiana.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four. What's something you haven't done since elementary school gym class?
The shuttle run. You know, the physical fitness test that you had, they put the erasers down and you had to go back and forth.
So you're basically running gators or suicides?
Suicides, yeah. I don't know if we can even say that anymore, politically correct society, but I had to run those. Well, I say that, though.
You didn't do that in middle school or high school?
No, in football, actually, we did something similar. We weren't picking up erasers, but basically going back and forth.
From line to line?
I would say jump rope for heart.
So you haven't jumped rope since elementary school gym class?
Not for heart.
I mean, I've donated. Was involved. I mean,
No, I know you donated, but I'm saying activity. So you haven't jumped rope since elementary school.
I know one that I haven't done since elementary school. Crab soccer. We used to play crab soccer.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. All right, we're just.
Oh, he's demonstrating it now.
Okay.
And okay.
His crotch is in the air.
Yeah. That's vulgar. Right. Yeah. Stop doing it. I feel uncomfortable.
Well, I just.
Had to.
That was going
to
be easier than me explaining to you what it was, but you're putting your hands, you're on all fours,
yeah,
but you're not facing
unfortunately,
down.
Unfortunately, I saw
facing
that.
Up.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a move you could pull out at the club.
Okay.
I'm gonna give that one to Damian. Hey, Damian, break this one out.
All right, so crab soccer, you have not performed that or done that since elementary school.
Hadn't whipped out the crab soccer. Mm. Ladies must have loved it.
Soft shell, that's the only way I go.
How about you, John?
Be Foursquare or Newcomb, one of the
two.
Foursquare
is a good one.
That's a good one.
I love that one.
Newcomb, yep. Poor man's volleyball. I just catch it and throw it back.
What was the thing that you did with the big parachute? Do you remember that? What?
Yeah, that was. I couldn't think of the name of it.
What was that called?
Say that. I don't know.
The parachute. We didn't do the parachute.
You
didn't
do the parachute?
No.
Yeah.
You did it though.
Oh
didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where everybody's at the gym, you got the you got a huge parachute and
you lift it up, you got to run under,
you got to run underneath
it,
and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called, but yeah.
Pillow polo. That was another one.
See, these are some of the games that should have been featured in Squid Game.
Are you on that now?
I've watched it. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
You get over the whole.
Like, what, people getting killed if you don't win the game?
No. The, you know, not originally, not being filmed where it's.
Oh, you're talking about it being dubbed into English.
Yeah.
That's really never bothered me.
Yeah, man. So what?
It's never bothered me.
Yeah.
But apparently that has got you stopped from watching it.
Wow.
No, I mean, I would give it another chance. It's just, you know.
Did you finish it, John?
ADD. I don't need anything to take away.
You haven't seen it yet?
It doesn't look appealing.
Well, you know, that's.
Yeah.
Don't blame you there. But once I got in, I'm like, okay.
I mean, that's what I heard.
I'm finishing it.
Yeah.
I've dedicated this much time.
Slowly making my way through Sex Education. I'm not going to jump right into Squid Game.
I've seen that. Should I check it out? Would I enjoy it?
God.
Are you kidding me?
This is literally right up your alley.
Okay, oh my gosh, I can't even believe that you haven't even watched it.
We don't have any games on tonight.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
There's two seasons, so he'll be through
three.
Oh, is it three?
Yeah, they're in three right now. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be through all three.
Is there skin? Nudity?
They're talking about high school kids, man. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I didn't know it was about high school. It was just, you said sex education.
Just fair, then you were all in from demonstrating crab soccer now to trying.
I got a funny story I'll tell you off the air about sex education in junior high.
Mm. Let's find a way to just keep this segment going so we don't have to break, so you don't have to hear it.
I'm really shocked because you spend a lot of time on Netflix when you have an opportunity.
Yep.
I'm not saying you have a lot of opportunities, but when you do. You watch Netflix, and I'm really surprised that you have not had an opportunity to watch Sex Education.
Well, I can probably see what's going to be on in the Roberts household tonight. We're going to have
tonight. It's probably let's see here. You'll get
you. It's going to be a Sex Education marathon. I'm going to break down all three seasons for you tomorrow.
He's going to love the opening scene of season two when he's in the car. He's going to love it.
I did watch the Chappelle stand up, kind of like the farewell for a while. He did in Detroit.
Oh, the one that got him in trouble. Didn't his new one get him in trouble?
Well, got him in trouble.
Not in trouble, but a lot of criticism.
It's Dave's always been on the other side of controversial.
Yes.
Speaking of which, controversial, were we just going to ignore what happened a year ago today? Cowboy Roberts. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be the worst thing I've seen. Watch that video again. Appreciate whoever tweeted that out at the number three man front.
Yeah,
okay,
welcome.
Thank you, John Saber.
That's time hop, baby.
On this day.
All right, that's today's Pat Ponder.
Alabama Roofing Professionals, that's who you need to call for all of your roofing needs. The blow-in insulation service they offer as well. 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com. We do have a slight bit of the worst thing I've seen. That's next.
Three-man front, weekday.
Right here on Jax.
Jax 94.5.
Three-man front here on this Wednesday. It is hump day, and Pat and John selling me on Sex Education, the series on Netflix, and, I mean, you sold me. I'm in. Can be
I don't think really anybody had sell you on anything.
Yeah,
all you had to do is tell you the name of the
title.
Show.
Yeah.
Do I get through all three seasons?
I mean, knowing you, probably.
Yeah.
No Braves tonight, so.
No.
You're going to need something to fill your hole.
Oh, man. No, he didn't. No, he did not. Oh, goodness. All right.
let me throw this out real quick.
Oh, gosh. What?
No. It has nothing to do with that. No, this is quickly. This is about college football. So, you know, there's been some rumors in Oklahoma that Spencer Rattler could be in the transfer portal.
Yep.
I mean, that's a serious story. Well, this is actually somebody had tweeted this. A reporter from the OU student newspaper. They've used binoculars from a public building to report that Caleb Williams is doing practice with first reps. They've also, the student newspapers, got some quotes from Spencer Rattler's dad.
Oh, gosh.
And Lincoln Riley has now apparently canceled all media availabilities with the team.
Daddy ball.
So that's a developing situation to keep your eye on. Spencer Rattler, whether he will be and Oklahoma Sooner come this weekend.
All right, it's time for the worst thing I've seen, and I was just going to mention this. By the way, did you realize that J.R. Smith was actually playing collegiate golf?
No.
North Carolina A&T. Well, this actually happened in a tournament this week. His round there for North Carolina A&T, second day of Elon's Phoenix Invitational. Well, he didn't play that well. He was 8 over par for a 79, but the bad thing, he stepped on a hornet's nest.
Ooh.
Stung multiple times. There's actually video of this, but you know how we feel about the wasps and the bees. Remember that time I saved all the children and the families at the remote we did on that Saturday? I had the wasp spray.
You mean the two people that were sitting on the deck?
There was not two people. It was like 25 people, standing ovation.
There was not 25 people there, and they did not give you a standing ovation.
You remember it the way that you want to, and I'll remember it the way that I want to.
Okay.
Saving lives. First responder. I, you know what? I hope that if I'm in public and I'm about to get stung, Pat Smith's not around. Because he's just going to worry about himself. Selfish. Sex education. Watch it tonight.